So, man, I want to talk about I'm going to talk about love and fear. But here's what I want to start out as, and for guys, man, we definitely do this, and that is, man, do you keep any secrets, dreams in your heart that you don't tell other people about, faults that you've committed, failures that that not necessarily that you're trying to hide, but you don't really want to tell anybody really what those failures meant to you, how those things bothered you, doubts about your future, about your ability to be a husband or a father or a business person or to make it. You guys have any things like that?
Yeah, definitely.
I always wonder, I've always...
all the time.
You know, as people, the question, and I ask it to you guys, and I've got some of my own answers on it, is why do we do that? Mm-hmm. Now, some of those questions are obvious. You know, why I shared my heart with somebody and they laughed at me, hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. But, I mean, we hide those things out of fear.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Now, sometimes it's because the dream is so big, you fear no one else will be able to latch onto it with you. And I understand that. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like for Noah trying to tell his sons, I'm about to build a boat to handle a storm, and there is no such thing as a storm. In fact, the planet's been here for a while, and it has never rained a single day. I mean, how do you tell your kids that? We're going to spend the next century, entire century, building a boat to save us from what has never been on the face of the earth before, and no one else knows it but me. You know what I'm saying? That's got to be kind of weird. But Noah jumped out there and did it, man.
Where's that berry bush even eating on?
Yeah. Well, he planted that vineyard early and got drunk early when he saw that vision. But so I set that out there to just keep in mind as we talk about the next part, about that fear, about how we hide things. And I think we do that in relationships. I know that there are some things now. I try not to do it with my wife, but we've been married. We'll be married 20 years in 2 weeks. Oh, and every year, it seems like I let a little more of what's on the inside out. I've gotten to the point where actually I don't have anything I hide from my wife at all. Not from a bad standpoint, like, baby, I didn't tell you I've been buying some crack. Right. I mean, things that I have in my heart, things that I'm praying about, things that I'm believing God for, things that I'm trying to change, character flaws. Mm-hmm. I mean, I share those with my wife. It's like, baby, I'm working on this. And you probably have seen it happen before. I want you to know God's been like, Ted, you better stop that. Mm-hmm. And, anyway, you know, we hide those things out of fear.
Yeah.
And I think we come by that fear naturally. I think through the course of the world and life, those things come. You know what I'm saying? But I want to throw this out to you and then talk a little bit about it. Tramiel, by the way, in the group, you get to just jump in whenever you want to and say anything. It's not that big a deal for us.
All right.
But I'm gonna throw this out here. Let me get to this scripture here. It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. I was really surprised when the Holy Spirit asked me to share on this because it's something I understand but haven't really looked a lot at.
You said it was 1 John?
Yeah, 1 John 4. Okay. We'll start in 17. It says, by this is love perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. And then here it is, 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. John made several statements through the gospel. Like someone who loves is full of the Father, and a person who does not love does not know the Father. I mean, it was some black and white stuff, you know, there's no gray. Mm-hmm. And he makes that statement that a person who fears has not been perfected in love. There is no fear in love. None whatsoever. And so, man, I was just like, That's pretty big. Go ahead.
There's got one. There was a season in my life where I actually made an excuse as the reason why I never was looking for a girl to marry, because all my family has been divorced once or twice. So I was like, well, that's going to happen to me. So, the devil already put that in my heart. He was like, oh, well, it's going to happen to you. So just avoid all that and just, So, even to this day, I'm still kind of struggling with that. But, I prayed about it and I asked God, find me a God-fearing woman who will help me to overcome and to be equally yoked with me. And I'm just waiting on that day, I'm opening myself more now, though, than what I used to be afraid of. Letting that, family history kind of thing stay into my heart. So,
well, one of the things I read when I saw that, there's no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear. Mm-hmm. That means to me, when I read that, that means the default position of your heart is fear. Mm-hmm. If perfect love is going to cast it out, then fear is there first.
Yep.
Fear's got the predominant place. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I know that enters in from the beginning. I mean, the very first time, at whatever age it may be, that we probably can't even remember that we experience rejection, from that point on, there is a purpose to hiding portions of our heart from other people. Portions of our thought process, portions of our mind. And we get good at it. I mean, we hide things that are good, like, you're believing God for this, and we hide things that are bad.
Yep.
Things in our past, we hide it because we don't want others to know it, and then reject us because of what's in our heart, whether good or bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, Noah he ran the risk that his family could be like, Noah, you're crazy, and rejected him for knowing what God's will was. It could have been the other side, that when, like when Noah after the ark and he got drunk, which, a while later. It could have been that was one of those areas where he felt like his family was going to reject him, But when I really began to think about it, I had to ask myself the question, why do we make sections of ourselves off limits? Mm. Why do we do that? And I understand the fear, but I begin to look at it and say, all right, Chad, why do you make things? Well, there are some things in my life that I don't make available to everyone around me that God has talked to me about. And there's some things in my future. And if everything that God has talked to me about was laid out in front of everybody, they would treat me different. They would say things different. I'm not want to be treated different because of what may be coming in my life. So you know what I'm saying? I want where I'm at in the season I'm in, the position God put me in, I want it to do its work. Mm-hmm. I want people to look at me and say, all right, Chad is this, and we're going to continue to do. But there are some other things, honestly, that I had in my life because I wasn't positive anybody was willing to go there with me. I've shared in the group many times, well, Tramell doesn't know any of my testimony, but Juan probably does. I've shared many times about my long 15, 18-year addiction to pornography, and now I've turned that around. I help men deal with it, but I hid that. I hid that for years because I felt like there was no safe place to say that,
right?
Where someone would not look at me and then reject me permanently because I had failed.
And that's the main thing,
And that's what I thought. There's no way. I mean, I'm on the church staff at this point. I'm not a minister. I do technical things, but still, I've been here all my life. I feel if some people are going to look at me, if my parents are going to be disappointed, and this and that, and so I hid that area. But This is such a great example. I heard a guy at our church named Charles Burton, and I don't know if you know Mr. Burton or not, but they run, if you heard the announcement this morning, we talked about the Overcomers Ministry. They run that. They have run addiction centers and done stuff, ministered all over the world on addiction for 40-something years. Him and his wife are both addicts. So in the video ministry, we're recording some of their sessions for them on their teachings, and now they send these DVDs out all over the world, which is just nuts, man. But we did that 15 years ago, and I heard for the first time somebody who would not judge me for my wrong, who was a safe place. And I knew if I had gone to him because of the way he had loved others, that I had nothing to fear by putting that out there.
Right.
And his love, what I saw of his love, showed me that I had nothing to fear from the imperfections on the inside of me. and that relationship could bring me good fruit, I should be open. And of course, I've shared many times that I called him one night, and when you call somebody whose job was for a while, he was on staff at a church with 100 staff members, 150 staff members, and his job was to pastor the staff. You know what I'm saying? Just to help watch out over them. When you call somebody who's been dealing with addictions for 30-something years, and you call them up at 10:45 at night, they know it's not to ask about the weather. You know what I'm saying? So I made that call that night, and I told them my problems, and from that point on, I was just, God changed my whole life. But you know, if I had not known about his love, I would not have ever entered into that full relationship with him. But because he and I, because there wasn't any secrets there, because I shared my heart, because I opened up, it became tremendous. That relationship is still today. I was just talking to him this morning after service. Still just as strong as it was 15, 18 years ago. Tremendous. And even in my wife and I share with her things in her mind, things God's talking to me about, things he's told me, things he's working on me, things I'm screwing up, that I'm not getting right. I'm like, babe, Holy Spirit has talked to me about this 3 months ago, and I ain't got it right, not one day yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just telling you, you know, I'm working. And I have begun to, in my own life, I really begin to have so little concern about the rejection of others around me for what may be good or bad. And so as I looked at myself and I said, now, Chad, what's the deal about that? It's because every day I'm actually getting closer to God. That perfect love is eliminating fear in my life. Just like when this stuff, when this insurance thing came up, I could start looking at the rules of prayer. You know, you need to have the rule, you need to petition God, and then you need to do this. And we've talked about it before, that God's not sitting up there with a bunch of blessing going, oh, he missed rule 7, no blessing for him. Right. He's not trying. When you really begin to understand the love of God, he is desperate to do something in your life, to show himself major on your behalf. And I'm not talking about just little things. I mean, Juan, you may have a picture of a woman you wanted to marry physically, and what she's like mentally, and what she's like emotionally, and what kind of a life you could live. And it may be in your dreams to have a life where you don't have to work a day in your life. That you've got all this money in the bank, and all you and your wife do is volunteer at the church, and then 1 month of the year you travel the world. With God, as long as you're in the will of God, those kind of dreams are not unreasonable. I begin to think about that. He is serious. He is that big. And as I get further down into this, when we consider this, what love is that we fear is driven by pain or punishment or loss or something that's going to come. But with God, he put all that into perspective with Jesus. He took care of the pain and the punishment and the loss. Now, he can't stop you from screwing your own life up if you're going to sin. All right, this is in the context of I'm trying. You know what I'm saying? Now, not that we're all perfect, but God, that's what mercy's for. But I know we've talked about that many times, that there is still an effect for sin. But this is what one of the things God spoke to me yesterday as I was looking at this. He said the love of God, that is where the soul of man was birthed. Adam was put on this planet. The idea of human beings started with the love of God. The whole thing began there. I mean, you think, but there, what other purpose could there have been? I mean, when you read Genesis, Adam, and basically he woke up into perfect provision, in face-to-face fellowship with God. God then gave him a wife, a relationship, said, y'all go and do your thing. Don't eat of this tree, but go. Perfect health, perfect provision, relationships, a command, and God wants to fellowship you while he just watches you prosper in your own life. That's what Adam, that's where he began. That was his life. until however long it took, a day, an hour, 3,000 years, I don't know how long it took them to sin. What have I got to fear? I mean, there are some things to fear. There's sin exists in the world. If I decide to go off the deep end, commit adultery, sell drugs, there is pain coming my way. But inside of my desire, as flawed as it may be, to honestly serve God, what fear do I have left? I mean, he said it over in Romans, and I've got it down here. He who did not spare his only son. And Brother Sam talks about this all the time. It's his favorite verse, Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also freely give us all things? It goes right on in that chapter to say, what can separate you from the love of God? Peril or sword or nakedness or nothing. And then it says again, if God is for you, what possibly could stand against you? What has a person who knows they are loved by God to fear? What fear? My job? The loss of my job? If my dad owns the cattle on a thousand hill, what do I have to fear? Is it men? I mean, you realize over in Isaiah, he spun the world backwards for an hour just to prove he could do it. I mean, when you, the person who is in love with you has that type of power, what do you have to fear? You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about being stupid like I'm not fearful, so I'm going to put on some kind of weird outfit and go walking through the hood in the middle of the night yelling at people. Mm. Not my smartest option, you know what I'm saying?
Or bungee jump without the cord.
But in the general course of life, when I sit down and I examine, and it's just me and my thoughts, I've got my wife, I've got my children, there's things like cancer in the world. You know, there's robbers and thieves in the world. There's the chance that my pastor could quit the ministry today and this whole church go under, and I've lost my job of 20 years. When I think about all those things, I got to examine them and say, what of these things does God not have the ability to work through, to overcome, to shift around on my behalf? You know what I'm saying? It's hard to understand those things. I mean, he raised the dead. He healed the sick. You know, he endured the cross. And I think about that when it says, and we've talked about this one scripture several times, because it is the culmination of all that God is concerning man. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And one of the things I read when I was we can't understand it. But one of the commentaries I was reading on this, the guy said, listen, Jesus, God showed out a little bit, a tiny bit, and he made earth and the universe. As depth of it is limited. We can't even figure out how big it is. And God showed out a little bit when he made it. He might have showed out a little bit more when he created heaven and the cities and the gold streets. And he said, but those things are tiny representations of his overall ability. But sending his son is a flawless, completely accurate representation of his love. And his son, the master and commander of the entire universe, the only, he could have made another son. He took the only one he had. The act is so large because Jesus is so majestic and so glorious. And he was lowered to such a small stature that the act of that is incomprehensible to mankind, how large the love is. And God says, look at, I gave my only son. How much more would I not do for you all things? God says, you should take this thing, which is so large you can't even figure it out, and realize that there is nothing I won't do for you. So as I begin to think about that in my context of my own life, I said, you know what? Dixie, my wife and I are about to buy a new house. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm down to buy a new house. I said, but one of the things that's not in my heart to do is my wife does not have a full-time job. She works part-time. And she just went back to work a year ago. Up until then, she hadn't worked for 12 years, and it was not in my heart to let her. And it's been rough on us financially, but you know what? As I begin to read these scriptures and take some things into context, I wonder if it had to be rough on us financially. I wonder if I just didn't put my faith out there enough. I mean, if this is my father, I didn't say, God, I don't want my wife to work so she can sit at home and watch movies all day. I didn't say, God, I want her to stay at home so that she's ready to have sex with me every day. I said, God, I want her to be able to love our children. If I'm dedicated to this ministry in the way that I am, somebody's got to dedicate to my home. Mm-hmm. Not that I neglect my children. We hang out together, but I need some help, God. Right. That's why she stayed home. And I'm like, but this scripture tells me I didn't have to go through any financial hardships. That doesn't mean God's necessarily in his will to make me a, you know, $17.6 billion a year industry. You know, there are people that are called to be rich, and so be it. They really are. It's a gift. Yeah. It really is. But when I was talking to my wife, she said, you know, Chad, here's our budget and this and that. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to be stupid and go out and buy a $900,000 home on the lake. Mm-hmm. I said, but I'm not going to be limited by that because my God's not either. Right. And I said, no, we serve a God who loves us. And that budget just doesn't feel like that's the right amount of love. And I prayed about it, and God said, man, I will give you what you ask for. And I'm asking for more.
Right. Yeah, why
not? And I thought, I don't have to fear. Just like this stuff with the insurance, there's some things that need to be done in my home. One of them is our air ducts are really dirty. And I've noticed that when we came back home after being at my dad's, my house is 60 years old, and I've been at my dad's house, and his house is new. So we left that. I say new. It's 20 years old. It's actually, I grew up there in high school. But anyway, we come back home. My wife is all stuffed up. My son's stuffed up. And my daughter's all stuffed up. We get out of the house and everybody's sinus is clear. I said, all right, we got to clean these air ducts. Well, I don't have to clean the air ducts before I leave the house and sell it. I could leave them. Mm-hmm. And if I clean them, I'm going to have to repair them. Mm-hmm. And Dixie's like, I wonder about the money. And I was like, doesn't matter. I've got a God who is well able. And I'm not going to fear what's in those air ducts. I mean, if I find asbestos in there and we've got to burn the house to the ground, God will give me three more for being honorable and give me two more just for asking.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to fear this. I'm not going to look over my savings in fear. I'm not going to look at the car that I do or don't have. I'm not going to fear. My God is, he loves me. And if I have anything in my hands that my children need, man, it's theirs. Now, if they've been making F's in school and cussing out their mama, I ain't going to bless them.
Right.
But I've been blessed to raise my kids well, and they ain't perfect, but they're good. They're good hearts. I can honestly say there is no rebellion in my children. Now, my son will act like a fool because he's got his daddy's personality, and he got in trouble a while back because in the science lab, he set something on fire. And Dixie's like, oh, and I laughed because I'm like, you know, I would have done that. That would be totally awesome, babe. I'm just letting you know. I know his teacher's like, he's about to get suspended, but I'm like, I really can't punish him for that. That was really pretty cool. But it wasn't rebellion. It was just a little unbridled curiosity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, if I have something good to give to my kids, I do it. And I stop and I was like, I am refusing now to limit the love of God in my life. Again, I'm not asking him for what's not in my will. I do not believe a fleet of BMWs is the will of God for my life. I should not have a new BMW for every day of the week.
Right.
So I drive the red one on Fridays and the green one on Mondays. I do not believe that's the will of God. I don't even want that. But you know what? There is a will of God. And so I said, God, what do you want to do? When I go out and buy this house, what is your will? And he said, Chan, you need to believe me for this amount of house. I want to give it to you. And I said, done. I'll do that. I hadn't looked at any houses that aren't in that price range. And I'm not gonna. And I'm gonna see God move. I'm gonna see his love. manifested in my life, and I'm not going to fear. And one of the things that God talks about is you can know His will. And inside of that will, there is no fear. I think that's why one of the reasons why people get out is, and we talked about this just a couple of life groups ago about knowing the will of God, that you got to know it if you're going to walk in any faith. I mean, you got to know the will of God. Now, when you read the Bible, you see that the will of God is to love. He's there to be awesome. Now, we talked about, I don't know if it was just last week or when, but sin, we've talked about many times in the group, sin destroys God's ability to work in your life. God is not hating sin because it's not His, is not like He said, I made these rules, and if you don't follow them, I'm going to smack you on the head. He hates sin because it hurts you. I hate anything that hurts my family. You know what I'm saying? I hate that they go to school and they face rejection from people. I hate that there are people in the world that will never give them a chance because of their age or because of their race or because of their background or anything. I hate that. And I don't want that in their lives. Now, I know they have the ability to overcome it, but God hates sin because of what it does to you. And it damages your ability to hear, walk in, and receive the best of God. It always does. It says the wages of sin is death. It always brings death to something. Mm-hmm. All right, it may not be your physical death. I didn't cuss one day and fall over dead from a heart attack.
Right.
But it's, you know, continual sin. And I can say this from someone who lived in pornography. Will damage your ability to receive the blessings of God. It'll damage your ability to hear clearly. It's kind of, things get cloudy. Or what happens is you've got a clarity, but it's just to a small level. There's so many other things out there, you know, and sin is keeping you from them. So I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that the love of God will override sin, but the love of God will not override your desire to sin. We've dealt with, you know, the flesh is yours to deal with. God will help you, but he will go with you as you deal with sin in your life. He will not deal with it and then call you forward. You know what I'm saying? It is a difference.
I've been guilty of that.
You know what I'm saying? I had to, when I was dealing with pornography, I had to deal with the fact that I wanted it.
Yep.
I mean, in the end, it says that we are led, the temptation leads us away, or the sin leads us away through our own internal lusts, through the things in our own heart. Now, fortunately, I've found a way to change my heart. Meditation on the Word of God was one of those. Mm-hmm. Psalms 119 says, how should a young man cleanse his ways? He meditates on God's Word day and night. Yep. And your Word have I hid in my heart. I think one of those is verse 9 and one of those is verse 11. They are right there that close. Yep. Your Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And I found how to change my heart, but there was no denying that I was in some sin that I did not want to leave because I wanted it. Now, those things did make me fear. Mm-hmm. And then I would always come to the conclusion, well, I mean, it's not that God doesn't know my heart anyway. So I don't know. Run is obviously, you know, it's not doing me any good. He's kind of already in the clue. The love of God. Perfect love. Cast out. We've got nothing to fear from God. Sometimes we have some fear from ourselves, but even in the foolishness that's in us. Romans 5, chapter 8. Romans 5, verse 8, says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Mm-hmm. And there's the part that gives you no fear.
Right.
To realize that the love of God existed from the beginning, mm-hmm. and sin in no way stopped its power.
That's right.
It did not cease love. It did not diminish in the least because sin showed up. Therefore, there is no part of sin that stops the love of God. It will stop the flow of God, but it will not stop His desire. So if I will get some things right in my life, I can walk in that divine love, and I am doing it. So that's why I'll leave that with you guys. You guys want to throw anything out there on that, man?
Well, I think with me is that...